Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Vachem Daf Tes Zayin. We begin on Tes Vav Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom. The Mishnah gave us a list of various individuals who may not approach the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They may not process Karbonos. So if they work in the Beis HaMikdash, not only are they transgressing a violation, but the actual work becomes mechulal, becomes disqualified, becomes pasul. The first fellow on the list is a zar, a stranger, a non-Kohen. So a regular, ordinary Yisrael, he's not allowed to do the Avodah. So aside from Shechita, which anybody can do, but past that point, Kabbalah, and so on, a Zohar may not engage in, and if he does, the Avodah, the work becomes Mechulo. It becomes Pasul. How do we know that in fact a Zohar may not do Avodah, and that it becomes Pasul? So we had one Pasul yesterday. It was V'yinazru b'kosha b'nei Yisrael. Keep away, b'nei Yisrael, keep away from Karbonos, lest you be mechalel the Karbonos, because as the pasuk continues, v'lo yechalelu, otherwise you're going to be mechalel. Here comes yet another source, based on logic, based on a kal v'chomer. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, how do we know that a zar is mechalel the avoida? He disqualifies the work that he does. Asya b'kal v'chomer, it comes through a kal v'chomer. Mi ba'almo, starting point is a kohen, who has a blemish, who is not meant to do avoida. If in fact he does avoida, the pasuk clearly says it becomes mechulo. The pasuk says mumboi v'lo yichalel es mikdashi. If he does, it becomes mechulo. So that's the starting point. And from there we will learn zar as well. Ma ba'almum. Since by a ba'almum, despite the fact sho'echa that he can eat the carbon, Rashi says, even kachi kachim, the highest level of karbonis, even a kohen is a balmum, although he may not work, but he can have, he can consume, he can eat like any other kohen. So despite his apparent, you know, advantage, im avad chil, but if he proceeds and does work, it becomes mechulo. Certainly a zor, who has no business even eating these karbonis, certainly if he works, it becomes pasul. Zor she'eino ichl, a zor who cannot eat, in addition, wouldn't it lend to reason that Shim Ava, that if he in fact worked, Chilel, he will disqualify the Avodah and the Karbon? Well, how could you compare one to the other? Mal Balmum, perhaps a Balmum, stands higher and is more strict and severe, Shekin Asabai Kariv, because the Torah regards the item that's being offered, meaning the Karbon itself, may not be blemished as well. So we see the concept of blemish extends not only to the person itself, but over to the animal too. Karev is kim makriv, like the kohen doing the avoda. They both have to be unblemished. So it's a more greater, has a greater encompassment. It's more greater in scope, right? It's a bigger iser. So perhaps this type of disqualification is worse off than a zar, who only applies to the fellow doing the work. It doesn't apply to the material being offered itself. So how could you compare zar to balmum? Well, tama yechiach, we can undo that argument by looking at a tame. A kohen who was tame, we had the pasuk yesterday, right? It was part of that pasuk of v'yinazru mikodesh b'nei Yisrael. When you are tame, you shouldn't be doing avoida. And in his case, it's limited to the person. It doesn't extend to the animal as well. So just like he, if he does avoida, becomes mechulel, likewise the zar. Tami yechiach. So Tami undoes that argument that you have presented as an impediment, as a barrier between Balmum and the zar. Well, the Balmum is a greater iser, has a broader scope. Tami doesn't have that element and still is going to be mechalel. So that allows us to learn from the kal v'chomer, from the Balmum. Says the Gemara, one second, but Tami is also different. Tami also has an added element of severity. Mala Tami, Shekein Matami. When a person's Tami, if he touches something, right, the Tumah transfers. So since Tumah, by definition, is a spreadable you know, concept. So perhaps it's more severe than Zor. Balmum Yechiach. That could be, that argument could be undone. Can be negated by taking a look back at the Balmum, which doesn't have this idea of spreading and affecting others. And still, a Balmum who does work, he's Mechalom. So basically, you have two sources to work with. Balmum with his advantages and disadvantages, and the tummy as well. And if you pair them up together, right, you can build the Zohar upon them. Then you can go back and forth, each one with its own uniqueness, unfound in the other one. So you can't really attribute the aloha to any one factor, because, look, you're attributing it to the fact that the mum is more, you know, encompassing. Well, the tummy doesn't have that. Well, the tummy has another advantage. It spreads, it infects. Well, the balmum doesn't have that. So you can't attribute it to those reasons. Loi roi ze, the element that you find in one, you don't find in the other. Kari ze, and vice versa. Loi roi ze, kari ze, the element you found in the other one, you don't find in the first one. So you can't attribute it to those factors. What then? You have to find something in common, a commonality between balmum and tummy. So what's the common ground between the two? They're both warned against engaging in avoda. Vim of the chil, if they proceeded to do avoda, they were mechalal the avoda. Afani avizar. Likewise, I can compare the zar to them, because just like them, he's also warned against doing avoda. Shu muzar, and therefore, the end result is vim avad chil. So in any case, the starting point is that the Zohar is instructed not to do avoda. How do we know that's true? Minol on the Musar. Is it from the Pasuk learned yesterday? Maybe in Azru. Keep away. Well, then you have it all in that Pasuk. You have the Azhara. Don't do it. And you have the end result that it's Mechala. Because the Pasuk itself, the Pasuk that you just mentioned, tells you not to do it, also says that it becomes Pasuk. Chilul. In the same pasuk, it already mentions that it's going to be b'chalel the avodah. So why do we have to search for another source for chilul today? I mean, once you know that pasuk, you know it all. Ella, rather, we have another source that tells them to keep away. But that's all it says. It doesn't say further what happens if the actual avodah becomes mechulal. Hence, the need for today's kal v'chomer. Ella mevezar lo yikra aleichem. Okay, so at the end of the day, we have the isur from this pasuk or that pasuk, and the chilul based on the kal v'chomer. Or from that, you know, the other pasuk. But let's focus on the kal v'chomer right now. Zohar is going to be based on, it's going to be derived from a team, a combination, right, of looking at the Baal Mum and the Tamei. The commonality between them being, don't do avoda, and if you do, it's mechulal. Likewise, it's Zohar. One second, Ikel Mishra, you can challenge this comparison. Because if you look at the Baal Mum and the Tamei, they have something unique. Some added, you know, strictness that the Zohar doesn't appear to have. Mala, Tzal, Shav, Shemen, you know what's common to those two? Shekein, Lo Yhutru, Bebama. Bama is where a fellow would just erect an altar out there, you know. During some points in history, it was allowed. He brings a carbon there. You can't, you know, be Tamei when you bring the carbon there. You can't be a Baal Mum, but you can be a Zohar. You don't need a kayin. In fact, Rashi brings, we find throughout history, many individuals were known to bring karbanis, even though they were not kehanim, Gidain, Manayach, Shmuel. So that's a point of difference between the Zohar, who seems to have, you know, an added leniency, versus the other two, the Balmum and the Tamei. They can't do by the Bama, he could. Mala, Tzal, Hashem, Shemen, you know what's common to those two? Shekein, Lahut, Rabban, there's no allowance for them to do at the Bama. But he can. How could you compare him to them? He writes, says the Gemara, let's fall away. Let's drop the tummy from the equation. Let's insert another element into the equation. The kohen whose close relative passed away on that day, he can't do avoida. And he's going to be mechalal the avoida, as we're going to see later. So, team him up with the Baal Mum, and we're assuming the einin is okay to do work in a bama. So there goes your point of contention. You can't say, well, they're disqualified from bama and zara is okay, because einin we assume is also okay in the bama. So we have him together with the Baal Mum teaching us that anyone who shouldn't be doing avoida will disqualify avoida, likewise the zar. Well, one second, my einin can also be maser. Perhaps einin is more severe than a zar, because an einin may not eat maser sheni material in that state, as opposed to a zar who could. That argument can be undone by looking at the Baal Mum, which is the other element in this equation. Baal Mum Yechiyah, who is allowed to eat maser, so he doesn't have that strictness. So we're going to go back and forth, you know, like a ping pong, between the Baal Mum and the Einain. The element of strictness you find in one, you don't find in the other, and vice versa. Because although the Einain has the issue of master, Baal Mum doesn't. Although the Baal Mum is a concept that applies to the animal as well, Einain doesn't. So back and forth, and we'll have to find a tzatzala shabashabahen, shemuz haran, they're warned against doing work, and if they do, they make it possible. Likewise, these are. Well, Achanam Elifra says, Dimur, what do you gain by switching out the Tamei and substituting him with the Einain? Achanam Elifra could still ask the same question, Mala tzala shabashabahen. The Gemara is assuming that an Einain is disqualified, unsuitable for a Bama carbon. So basically, we have the same question again. Now as well, you can ask the same question as before. You know what's common to the Baal Mum and to the Einin? They can't serve in the Bama as opposed to a Zaru could. How could you compare him to them? So he says, no. Uman Leimalon, who's to tell us the Einin Asur Bama that you can't have an Einin serve at a Bama? Perhaps he can serve at a Bama. As Rashi says, the pasuk by Einin speaks specifically about the Migdash. Umina Migdash Leyetze, right? So the Kohen Gadol should not leave, should continue, even though he's an Einim, but an ordinary Kohen should leave. So the reference here is the Migdash. But if it's in a non-Migdash setting, perhaps an Einim is okay, and we're assuming he is. So you can't use that factor as an argument. At the end of the day, we can now compare the Zar to the other two items, to the Baal Mum and the Einim. Because the commonality among them is you can't do work, and if you do, it becomes possible. Likewise, the Zar. You'll ask the Zar, can do work in the Bama? They can't. Well, Einin could. Ramesharshi Amar. Now, he held that perhaps an Einin cannot do work in a Bama. Right? He holds that he's possible. We don't find anywhere that it's allowed. We assume that it's possible. So now back to square one. How could you compare a zar who can do work in a bama to an oinin who can't? Therefore, says in Rashar Shia, I'll find you another way to make a kavachimer, another structure, which the end result being that a zar, in fact, is mechalal di avoda. From Rashar Shia, Omar, ask you kavachimer miyeshev. It's going to be derived from a kavachimer whose starting point is a yeshiv, a kohen in seated position. He's doing the avodah while seated, meant to be standing, right? So ma yeshiv sho'echel, if a yeshiv, who's allowed to eat karbanis while in seated position, im avad chilo, nevertheless, if he does avodah in that state, it's mechalel. I think more later we'll give us the source for that. So that's the starting point. A yeshiv, who's avad chilo, certainly a zar, who can't eat kachi kadashim, Certainly, Einadin, wouldn't you agree with me? Shem Avad Chil, if he serves, he's Mechal. Well, Malu Yeshev Shechim Pasul Leidus. How could you compare to a Yeshev? Who has an added strictness, an added Chumrah? Because in terms of halachos of Eidus, offering testimony, an Eid, a witness who testifies, has to be in standing position. Rashi brings the Pasuk, V'amdu Shtei Anashim, got to be standing. So the concept of a yeshiv, in concept, has an added strictness. I could compare it to the yeshiv. Mi yeshiv Talmud Chacham. We're going to learn from a scholar who's allowed to sit while testifying. So he doesn't have that strictness. But But still, malashem yeshiv shekim pasuleidus. But still, in concept, the concept of a seated person has added chumra. Because in most cases, he's disqualified to offer testimony in that position. Shem yeshiv leparuch, you can't ask from concept. I'm focusing now on an individual person, a Talmud Chacham, who doesn't have that requirement to stand. So now it's a fair equation. Even if you'll agree, you'll submit to this argument. Well, concept, right? The general Yeshiv cannot offer testimony in that position. So therefore, it is a distinguishing factor between himself and the Tzar. Okay, we'll get stuck there. No problem. Let's insert another element into our equation and make this sort of common denominator. Astia will learn the Tzar mi Yeshiv v'machad mehanach. We'll build it on the Kavachemer from Yeshiv, and also one of the other individuals, like the Tamei or the Einin, and we'll compare notes, just like we find by those two things, that they are a puzzle if they do avoida. Likewise, the Tzar. So if you ask, well, Yeshiv is worse than a Tzar because he's Pasuleidus. Okay, so we go to the Einin. He's not Pasuleidus, and still, he's Mechala de Avoida. You'll ask, well, the Einin is Pasul by the Bama, as opposed to the Tzar who's not. Okay, we'll go back to Yeshiv. Yeshiv can do a work in a Bama. And still he's Mechala de Avoida. So you go back and forth and you sort of draw a common denominator. Conclusion is, if you can't do work, you're Mechala, the same with the Tzar. Okay, so this is based on the assumption that a Yeshiv can do work in a Bama. Because otherwise you're gonna ask, well, a Tzar can't compare because a Tzar can do work in a Bama and they can't. No, a Yeshiv can do work in a Bama, so it's a good comparison. How do we know that's true? A Yeshiv, the Kasha, the Bama, Menal, how do we know that a Yeshiv? A kohen in seated position. Well, anybody in seated position can serve an Eibama, Menola, Amakra. Lamed lifnei Hashem l'sharsoi. When you stand before Hashem in the place which is designated for Shechina, i.e. the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, there you have to be standing. Lifnei Hashem. It's limited to lifnei Hashem. V'lo lifnei Bama, in front of a Bama, in a Bama setting, there's no requirement to stand. Okay, so according to Misharsha, Tzar will learn the halacha of chilul also from the Kavachayim, but instead of going to Balmum and Oinin and Tamei, we also insert the Yoshev into the equation, which helps us out in a way because, like the Tzar, who's Kasha B'Bama, so the Yoshev is Kasha B'Bama, so you can't use that factor as a differentiating factor, which allows for a proper comparison, and allows us to learn that a Tzar is pasul for avoid. So in conclusion, the Mishnah says a Tzar may not do avoid, and if he does, it becomes pasul. How do we know? We have two sources, two and a half, I should say. One is the plain pasuk, the Nozer Mekashe Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael are meant to keep away, otherwise they are mechalel, the avoid. Plan B was that the pasuk that they can't do avoid is vizar leikrav aleichem. Don't do the avoid if you're a zar. In terms of chilul, we have the kavachomer, which is based on looking at the combination of balmum and the tamei, or balmum and the einin. And according to Mishash, you're based on looking at yoshev with one of the other ones. So in fact, how do we know that an einin who serves makes the avoid apostle? Einin minala. The chsiv. Umin amigdash layetze. The pasuk addresses a kohen gadol due to his higher, elevated position as a leader in Klal Yisrael. He's meant to rise above his own personal difficulties and serve in the Midrash even in a state of aninus, grave mourning. Umin amigdash layetze. He shouldn't leave the Beis HaMikdash. And don't worry about it. V'lo yichalal. Even if you do the avoida in that state of aninus, you're not going to be machal the avoida, but you're a kohen gadol. You're exempt. Even when you're an ayin and you serve. What does that tell us about a regular kohen? Ha, apparently, acher, an ordinary kohen, shelo yotze, who failed to leave, who continued the avoda in that state of oinin, chilel. The avoda becomes mechul. That's one source. A diuk from the pasuk, which allows the kohen gadol. Apparently, an ordinary kohen is not. Rav Lezer Oimer Mihacha, I have another source, that an oinin is possible. This is where Moshe Rabbeinu addressed Aaron HaKohen. What happened to that chatas? Why was it burnt? This was during the eighth day of the Miluim, right? So what happened? Why did you burn the carbon? We have a pasuk like this. Heine krivu. So Aaron HaKohen responds. So we'll focus on the response, which will indicate to us what they were talking about. Hey, Nekrivu. You think they were makriv? You see, Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, and he had initially four sons, Nadav, Vaviv, who died, who perished on that day, and Elazar v'Itamar, who were the survivors. They were considered ordinary Kohanim. Kohanim had yoitim, who may not do avoda when they're oinim. And that was his answer. He says, look, you're thinking perhaps that... You're suggesting, Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps that the reason why the carbon became possible is because my children were the ones who did the avodah, which disqualified the carbon, which made it possible. Hence it was burned. Is that the reason? No. So apparently that was Moshe Rabbeinu's suggestion. Can I suggest the reason why it was burned? Was it because due to this and this reason? To which Aaron HaKohen responds with a resounding, no, no, of course not. They didn't do the avodah. We know that they shouldn't. I did the avodah. I'm a kohen gadol. Was allowed to do avodah even when you're an einin. Hey, nikrivu, ani crafty. I was the one who was makriv. Oh, what do we see from this exchange? Mechlal. Apparently, we see the inu akriv shaper is starof. That if in fact my children, they would have done it, that would explain. That would justify why I was burnt. Oh, so we see that a kohen who does avoid it, when in a state of oinen, makes the carbon pas. So this is in addition to the pasuk we had before. Umin amitash layetze, kohen gadol continues, but not the kohen hetid. So we have two sources. And now, why did each opinion choose his as opposed to the other one? Rabbi Lazar, my time lo omar, umin amitash layetze. Rabbi Lazar, who learned from the miluim, the story of Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron HaKohen, why did he pick that source rather than the prior pasuk? Amalach, he'll tell you like this. That pasuk doesn't really provide a source. It's not clear in the pasuk. Miksiv, does the pasuk then clearly say ha'achar shliyatz achilot, that otherwise a regular kohen who didn't leave, meaning he continued the avoda, he's mechalot? Doesn't say that. Perhaps even a kohen headed does the avoda when einen does not make chilot. And Rashi explains, why did the pasuk stress to the kohen gadol, you should stay on, if it really applies to everybody equally? Because there would be room to think that perhaps just the opposite. Kohen gadol, due to his high level of kedusha, Rashi says, Meteich chashivusoy kedushasoy yaseir, because of his added prominence and higher level of sanctity, maybe because of that, that in itself is a reason to refrain when he's an einin. Has higher standards. In any case, the pasuk is not, perhaps not indicating to us what happens if a kohen hedya does avoid it when he's an oinin. That's Rabbi Lezer's opinion, so he shied away from that source. Now the first opinion, why did he choose that as opposed to learning from Heini Krivu, Aaron HaKohen's response? Because he held that there was nobody alluded to anything with oinin. It was burnt because of a got tummy. Some tumma touched the flesh of the basar. There was no discussion of aninus at all, so it's not part and parcel of that exchange at all. It doesn't relate to it. So how do we know einin disqualifies the avoda? Either the pasuk midrash layetze with the implication to the kohen hedid, or based on Aaron HaKohen's response to Moshe Rabbeinu, which indicates what the initial suggestion was. That an einin would make something pas. Here comes yet a third source, based on a kal v'chomer, the Veda Bishmol Tana, Asher b'kal v'chomer. Again, the base point here is Baal Mum. Mi Baal Mum. Uma Baal Mum. Sha'eichel. we find that a kohen is blemished, can still do the, can still eat karbanis, but still, if he does avoda, becomes mechulal im avad chilul. Certainly, an einin she'ein oichel cannot eat karbanis. Rashi says, pasuk loichalti ba'einim imenu, he can't even eat ma'aser. Certainly not karbanis. So that's out. Wouldn't you agree that if it does avoda, it becomes mechulal she'ein odin shem avad chilul? No, how could you compare malabal mum? This is similar to the earlier Gemara. Abal mum, perhaps is more severe, more strict. It's a broader iser. Shekein also by craven, kima craven. It applies to the craven, to the material, to the carbon itself. Also cannot be blemished, just as the makriv has to. So, perhaps due to its greater scope, it's more severe. Zorichiach. Okay, take a look at the Zohar, the non-Kohen. That undoes this argument. It doesn't apply to the animal, and still, he shares the same fate. He's Mechal. Mal Azor Shken Ein Lo Takonu. Well, Azor perhaps is worse, because there's no way of fixing Azor. Once you're Azor, you're Azor, right? But as opposed to the Einain, it's just a one-day state of affairs. It's a temporary, state. Perhaps it's not as severe. Bal Mum Yechiach, that is undone by looking at the Bal Mum, which Rashi says can be corrected, once the blemish goes away. So we go back and forth. The component you find in the Balmum, you don't find by the Oinen, and vice versa. So what's the commonality between the Oinen and the Balmum? They're told to refrain from Karbonis. If they proceed, they are Machal. Likewise, I can import the Oinen into this equation. Shem Muzer, he's not meant to do the avoida from Avad Chilal. Therefore, if he proceeds, it makes it Mechulal. Hey, Shem Muzer, where's the warning? Ilema, is it from the Pasuk Umin Amigdash Le'yetze, which we explained before? If that's the source, then you have it all in that Pasuk. Don't do it. If you do it, you're Mechulal. Why do you have to look for another source for Chilal? You don't have to separate the factors. Chilal Bukufay Ksibbe, in that same Pasuk, it indicates that he's Mechulal. Ella rather mehein hekrivu. It's from the other pasuk, where Aaron HaKohen responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he clarifies that they did the avoda. I did it, not them, because sovar yipneanim nisrufa, and this shita will hold. And in fact, the issue of oinen did come up for discussion. So when he told Moshe Rabbeinu was burnt because of aninus, he thought they meant it was because they were makriv as oinen. And that was reason enough to make a puzzle. It turns out that it wasn't so. Aaron HaKohen, who was the Kohen Gadol, did the akrova, so that's safe. But because there was nobody to eat it, because they were all in a state of anis, they couldn't eat karbanis, as we said before. So because it was just sitting around, it was sort of left, unsupervised, and it became tummy. But in any case, you see from there that one who's an oinen, a regular Kohen who's an oinen, may not do the avoda. And regarding the chilul element, that we have the Kal Vachomer. From where? From Balmum. A combination of Balmum and the Zohar. Continues the Gemara, 1 second. It's not a good comparison. Ikal Mifral, you can refute this comparison. Mal, Atal HaShavash Mem. You know what's common to those two? Shekein Lo Yuchu Mechlaloi. Both the Balmum and the Zohar never have exceptions. There are no scenarios where they can serve. As opposed to a Einain, who has exceptions, i.e. a Kohen Gadol, may serve even when he's an Einain. Perhaps he's not so severe as the other ones. That argument could be undone by looking at a Tummy. A Kohen who's Tummy, Yechich, that will undo and disprove this point. Because we do find that a Tummy also allows for exceptions, Rashi brings. When it's a Karban Tzibur, a public Karban, that can be processed even when they're a Tummy. Right? Even a Kohen who's Tummy can do a Karban Tzibur. And despite that apparent exception and leniency, he's mechalal. A tummy's mechalal if it's a private carbon. So basically you can pair together the tummy to the balmum to the zar and sort of combine them all to provide a basis for the oinin as well. Well, mala tummy shekein matami. Tummy's way off, way worse. He's matami thing, so perhaps because of that added dimension, he's worse. Hanochechichu. That will be undone by looking at the other factors in the equation. The balmum, he's not, doesn't spread, neither does the einen. So you go back and forth. You find something unique in this one, but you don't find it in the other one. So you can't sort of attribute it to this reason because it's not found in the other one. Hatzad l'shavash, what's common to all of them? Shemusaren. They must refrain from doing avodah. And if they do, it becomes possible. Likewise, the ayinim. Says the Gemara, hold it. But you can still distinguish between the ayinim and these three. The three are Baal Mum, Zar, and the Tami. Why? Velifrach. Mal atzad. Hashavah shabhan. You know what's common to all three? Because even the Tamei that has exception, that allows for sometimes, it's only if it's a carbon tzibur, as we explained. But if it's a carbon yachid, even if he's a kohen gadol, if he's Tamei, he cannot process the carbon yachid. As opposed to the Einin, who's trying to learn from them, that would allow for exception, even by carbon yachid. If you're a kohen gadol, you can do any carbon when you're an Einin. Right? Shekin lehutru mechlalon, it's a kohen gadol b'karbon yachid. All three that are serving as the basis for this kal v'chomer and a source for the einin, all three don't have exceptions regarding karbon yachid. So whether it's a baal mum, zar, tameh, even if it's a kohen gadol, if it's a karbon yachid, you got to stop. As opposed to the einin, which a kohen gadol can do, even if it's a karbon yachid. Well, shame tuma miyesh daroi. The fact is, the concept of tuma has exceptions, i.e., in a public carbon. So you could match up the einin to them. So despite the einin having exceptions, so do they, i.e., the tuma within this equation has an exception, allows for a heter. So it's a fair comparison, fair connection. Hence we know a coin who's an einin, a regular coin, does avodah, becomes mechulal. Rabbi Shar Shiomar, he says, look, I want to bring the yeshiv into the equation. Which is very similar to the Gemara before. He says, I'll give you another possible kavachomer, serving as the basis, as the source for the einin b'mechulal. Starting point could be a yoshev. Yoshev is a kohen who is in seated position. Uma yoshev shoich imavatchil. If a kohen while sitting can eat karbonis, but still if he does avoid his machal, oinin she'ein oichel in a din she'imavatchil, certainly an oinin could not do achila. Of course, if he does avodah, it becomes mechulal. Well, malu yoshev, shekein pasul eidus. Once again, a yoshev is worse, perhaps because he can't testify in that position. Yoshev talmud chacham, look at a talmud chacham, akud. Malu yoshev, yoshev shekein pasul eidus. But in concept, yoshev has deficiencies, has most strictnesses because he can't testify in general. Shem yoshev loy parach. We don't ask from generals. We ask from specifics. We're comparing it to a Talmud Chacham who could sit, so it's not a refuge, it's not a distinguishing factor. And even if you'll submit to this distinguishing factor, which impedes this sort of comparison between Oinin and Yoshev, okay, so let's support the Yoshev with another factor, team him up with somebody else, ask Yemi Yoshev, Machadim Mahanach, we'll compare the Oinin to Yoshev and one of the other ones. So you'll make sort of a combination. Starting point is, let's learn Oinin from Yoshev. Well, Yoshev has a severity because of the Psul Eidos. Okay. Balmum has no problem testifying, and still he's Psul Tavayvarvayda. Right? Well, you say Balmum is worse because of his added, dimensions. Well, the Yoshev doesn't have that, etc. Back and forth. End of the day, we know that if one can't do Avoida, he's Machal de Avoida, likewise the Oinin. Amarava. Einin pasul. Amarava. So, just as a quick intro, Rashi explains. We're going to deal with two separate issues here. Einin and Tamei. In terms of an Einin, as we explained, it's about who you are. Kohen Gadol may serve, should serve. Irrespective of whether it's a public carbon, a carbon tzibur, or a private carbon. It's about who you are, not what it's about. Versus a kohen hedyot, who's an ordinary kohen, may not serve in a state of oinin, whether he's doing a korban yachid or korban tzibur. Again, it's not about what it is, it's about who the person is. Kohen gadol, yes. Kohen hedyot, no. We don't find any difference between a korban tzibur, korban yachid. We assume, Rashi says, the stama, the implication in the psukim, indicate there's no difference between a korban yachid, korban tzibur. It's about who you are, not about what it is. That's one category. Then we have tuma, a kohen who's tummy. There it's totally different, just the opposite. It's about what he's doing, not about who he is. Whether it's a kohen gadol, kohen hedyot, it's irrelevant. It's about what type of korban it is. Korban tzibur allows for processing betuma. Korban yachid does not. That's what it seems from the psukim. So again, when it's about einen, it depends who he is. If it's regarding tuma, it depends what type of korban it is, irrespective of who he is. Amar Rava, comes Rava with a novelty. Loishana, when do we say a kohen hedyot is poisel the avoda? Ela b'korban yachid, if it's a private korban, aval b'korban tzibur, if he engages in a korban tzibur, just like it would be okay if it's betuma. Likewise, if he's an oinin. Miratza, the korban works. It's accepted, passes. Kavachayim mituma, it's based on a kavachayim from tuma. Uma tuma shloihucho b'chlol. Take a look at the tuma element. There's never an exception. There's never an allowance. Even etzel kohen gadol, even for a kohen gadol, if it's b'korban yachid, when it's a private korban, you can't proceed when you're tamei. So despite that lack, still hutra etzel hedyot b'korban tzibur. It's allowed if it's a korban tzibur, like we said, it's about what it is. If it's a korban tzibur, it's allowed. Even if it's a hedyot, even if the kohen is a regular kohen, it's not about who he is. It's about what it is. Certainly, wouldn't you agree? The same should apply to oinin. That if it's a korban tzibur, it's okay, it passes, even if it's a kohen hedyot. Right? Aninus, the aspect of oinin, shehutra mechlala, etzel kohen gadol, b'korban yachid, which was allowed. An exception was made for a kohen gadol, even by a korban yachid. Einu din, wouldn't you now agree? Shehutra would be allowed, etzel kohen hedyot, even by a regular kohen, if it's b'korban tzibur. Interesting. Kal v'chomer. So he's seeking to allow, to be marsha, to certify avoida that was done by a kohen hedyot when he was an oinin, because it's a korban tzibur. So Rabba is sort of seeking to alter the accepted version of these halachas and trying to be machadish, introduce a new concept. Maska flow Rabba bar Eloi, he comes and says like this. You know, once you're going to challenge the conventional assumptions regarding these halachas, that oinin it's about who he is, and tuma it's about what it is, if you're going to shake that up, there's no end in sight, because once you start questioning these various factors and altering them, you're just going to generate confusion. Utter confusion. Why? Because just as you had presented a kal v'chomer in one direction to produce a very specific result, I could present no less than 3 possible novelty kal v'chomers, which are pretty much going to self-contradict each other and just generate pandemonium. It's just going to be pandemonious, because we're not going to have any way to figure out which way to go. Rather, he says, instead of questioning the accepted, principles, let's just leave it as it is, the way we understand from the psukim, without introducing new kal v'chomers. So number one, he says like this. I can suggest that lo tutur aninus etzel kohen gadol. Even if he's a kohen gadol, perhaps he cannot work as an oinin, if it's a private korban, the korban yachid. Why? Mikal v'chomer, based on the following interesting kal v'chomer. Here goes. Uma tuma shuchu. Etzel kohen hedyot b'tzibur. When a kohen is tummy, even if it's a regular kohen, he can do it. If it's a public korban, he has that advantage. Still, despite tuma having this added, allowance, still, lo yuhutru etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid. It's not allowed by a korban yachid, even if it's a kohen gadol. Certainly aninus. which seems to be more strict in a way. Shlo yotru etzel kohen hedid b'karben tzibur, which we assume a kohen hedid cannot do, even if it's a public carbon. Certainly, ein odin shlo yotur etzel kohen gadol b'karben yachid. Aninus should not be allowed even by a kohen gadol if it's a karben yachid, based on this logic. So basically, we're limiting. We're going to suggest that a kohen gadol, when he's an oin, he can only do work in a carbon tzibur, not a carbon yachid, which is contrary to accepted, you know, halacha. Next idea, number two. V'tutar tuma, etz a kohen gadol b'karbon yachid. Perhaps, now I can suggest that a kohen gadol can proceed even when he's tummy, if it's a carbon yachid, even if it's a carbon yachid. Once again, based on a kavuchem. Uma aninus, shlehutru it's a kohen head, becoming tzibur. If he's a kohen headed, we assume he cannot work when he's an oinin, even when he's a carbon tzibur. Still, hutru it's a kohen gadol becoming yachid, but a kohen gadol could, even if it's a private carbon. Certainly, tuma, shlehutru it's a kohen head becoming tzibur. That can be done with a carbon tzibur, even if he's a kohen headed. It's about what it is, not about who he is. And then, wouldn't you agree, shlehutru it's a kohen gadol becoming yachid? That should be allowed, even by carbon yachid, if he's a kohen gadol. So again, we're switching the whole equation around. Number three, we have a third kavachayim, which will produce a chumra. So you see that these kavachayim are self-contradictory. Each one is producing different results based on different factors and different assumptions. Likewise, we can make a chumra. Don't allow a kohen headed to proceed with tuma, even if it's a public carbon, which again is contrary to what we understood until now. Once again, we kavah chaim. How? Umaninus. Shuhutru. Eitz a kohen gadol b'karbon yachid. If a kohen gadol, even when he's an oinen, he can proceed, even if it's a karbon yachid. Still, lo yuhutru, eitz a kohen hedid b'karbon tzibur. It's not allowed for a regular kohen, even if it's a karbon tzibur. Certainly, tuma, working when you're tummy, shlo yuhutru, eitz a kohen gadol b'karbon yachid, which is not allowed by a private carbon, even if you're a kohen gadol. And then, wouldn't you agree, shlo yuhutru, eitz a kohen hedid b'karbon tzibur? It wouldn't be allowed by a karmat tzibur, even if it's a karmat tzibur, because he's a kohen head yet. So, each kavah chomer is producing different results. They're self-contradictory. The results of this kavah chomer contradict the results of the other kavah chomer. Right? Because according to the first kavah chomer, with disallowing, can Gala do avoida when he's an ayin, even by a carbon, because it's a carbon yachid. Then we say, we allow the Kohen Gala to do betuma even by a carbon yachid. Then we're saying, don't allow the Kohen Hedit to do betuma even if it's a carbon tzibur. And the factors at play in each kavah chomer really contradict each other. So we're not, how do we know which way to go? Ella, ikal mifrach hachi. So you can go this way, you can go this way. Ikal mifrach hachi. Ikal mifrach hachi. With each track taking you in a different direction, inevitably, that's not the way to go. Rather, kol chada v'chada, let each halacha stay in its place, the way it was understood, from the psukim. Take ubeduchte, leave it in its place. Let it sit in its track, as Rashi explains. The psukim are indicative of a certain, you know, direction. Meaning when the Torah allowed the Kohen Gadol to do avoda when he's an oinin, without differentiating, without specifying that it's specific to this type of work, as opposed to, we assume it applies to all works, all types of karbanis equally, whether it's a karban yachid or karban tzibur. And likewise, when we speak about tuma being mutar b'tzibur, there's no discussion in the psukim that it's specific to a kohen gadol. We assume it's even a kohen hedid. That's the result. It's a simple end result here that the heter of oinin depends on who you are. Kohen gadol, yes. Kohen gadol, hedid, no. Whereas by tumah, it's not about who you are. It's about what it is. Korban tzibur, yes. Korban yachid, no. Irrespective of who the players are. Okay, so this was in conjunction with the Mishnah. It listed us a listing of psulim, ones who shouldn't be doing the avodah. If they do, they are mechal the avodah. We have the zar, We have sourcing for the Isser, we have sourcing for the Chilo, whether it's the Pasuk or the Kal Vachomer. We have the same thing regarding the Einin, sourcing for the Isser, two of them, and sourcing regarding Chilo, which is again either the Pasuk or the Kal Vachomer. We had several versions of that Kal Vachomer. And we have an interesting discussion towards the end regarding shaking up the norms, which the Gemara concludes not to be an advisable step, because otherwise it's confusion is going to reign. End result is, Einin is allowed for the Kohen Gadol only, and Tuma is specific to Korban Tzibur, irrespective of who's doing the Avodah. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.